Welcome to Lectionary Bites, a podcast for the busy pastor, the bogged down student, and the curious biblical scholar. Each short episode features different professors and students from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, narrowing in on an insight or two from the assigned scripture readings from the week. We hope these bites can support your sermon prep, spark new ideas and connections, and help you meditate on God's word throughout your busy week. Lectionary Bites is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.
Welcome to Lectionary Bites. Today we are going over one of the lectionary texts from the third week of Lent. My name is Eric Hart. I'm a fourth year student here at Concordia Seminary. And today I'll be talking a little bit with Vincent Otto, who is a second year seminary student. And Vincent, tell me a little bit about the text that you've picked out to talk about on the podcast today.
Sure. Glad to be here, Eric. Thanks for having me. So yeah, I was assigned to look at the texts assigned for the lectionary Sunday of Lent 3, third Sunday in Lent. And the readings sure do match the theme of Lent. I mean, looking through all of them, there is a very heavy theme of repentance that runs throughout all of these. But there are some really touching, tender, beautiful moments within them that really produce a very enlightening view of the gospel, even in the midst of repentance, suffering, affliction that we experience here in this sinful, broken world. So let's get started by looking at the Old Testament reading for the day. It comes from Ezekiel 33. Probably won't read all of it, but I think the beginning is particularly helpful. Ezekiel 33, 7 through 20. "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." So far, right off the bat, God starts off by addressing Ezekiel as son of man, which I thought was very interesting because Christ himself is later called son of man, especially in Luke, which is indeed where our gospel comes from on this Sunday. He is setting up Ezekiel as a watchman over the house of Israel, which finds its greater fulfillment in Christ, who watches over Israel and all that they do. He's setting up this system in which Ezekiel is there to warn the sinners that they are indeed sinning and giving them the chance to repent. And we see Jesus do that a lot in his earthly ministry. He tells people that they are indeed sinning, giving them the chance to repent so that his blood is then pure. He is not responsible for their blood when they sin against God.
Yeah, so we kind of see that son of man imagery that you alluded to, and we see it here in the text of Ezekiel as well. How do you see this tying into the theme of Lent as we look at this being a reading in this Lenten season? What are some connections we can make there?
Well, confronting your brother with sin, it gives them the opportunity to repent of their sin and be reconciled with God. And in this time of Lent, we do really focus on those sins which we have committed that led to Jesus necessarily coming down and being crucified on our behalf, taking our punishment on himself. So I would say that this illustrates the necessity of repenting in the Christian life.
Yeah, and again, repentance, great Lenten theme that we see in this text from Ezekiel. You mentioned that it ties in well with the other two readings in the lectionary. You want to allude a little bit more to that and introduce us to those other two readings and let us know how they kind of intersect with our text from Ezekiel.
Certainly. So let's take a look at the epistle for the day. It comes from 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Paul, in this epistle, alludes back to the people of Israel lost in the wilderness. He talks about their time in the wilderness, the food and drink that they ate, which came directly from Christ. And as a result, Paul points to the rock that they drank from, connects it to the rock, the true rock that is Christ, the sure foundation that he builds on. He says that even though that all the Israelites participated in this drinking, God was not pleased with all of them. We know this from all of the times when God poured out his anger on them, sending the serpents, for example. But nevertheless, they still drank from the spiritual food and the spiritual drink that was had by even the faithful ones, the ones that God was pleased with.
Right, yeah. So again, we see kind of that theme of the people weren't always faithful, even when God was providing for them in the wilderness, providing them water in a dry place. And you mentioned that Paul kind of refers to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What do you think Paul is referring to specifically in that text, especially as we think about the context that he's writing to the church in Corinth?
Well, I think that really comes into play later on, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. In this focus on repentance, this time when we are being confronted with our sin, we must take into account like what our temptations are, those things which confront us and eventually cause us to sin, fall into iniquity. And Paul is pointing the Corinthians here to Christ as an escape from those temptations, those things which do cause us to sin. Now, because of our old sinful Adam, we cannot completely escape iniquity, but Christ has given us power in him to escape from those temptations as they arise, because no temptation that we experience or the Corinthians experienced was anything new under the sun in a way, but Christ is the answer to escaping from under them.
Right. Yeah. Great insights there and good connection with the Old Testament text. Let's move to the gospel reading a little bit. It looks like the gospel reading for that week is Luke chapter 13. So how does that fit in with our lectionary readings for the third week of Lent?
So I'm going to do this a bit backwards. It's two parts, the parable of the barren fig tree and Jesus' call to repent or perish. I'm going to start with the parable of the barren fig tree because I think that's a little more interesting here. And he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. So we see here this wonderful parable, a little bit of a scary parable, if I'm perfectly honest, of Jesus saying he's going to cut down a fig tree. Jesus seems to have a very adversarial relationship with fig trees.
Right. Yeah, I remember him cursing the fig tree that didn't produce fruit, and now here he's going after fig trees again.
Yes, for the same reason, because they're not producing fruit. And this is very telling. I remember in one of my classes, I heard a phrase that really stuck with me, that we are saved by faith alone, but faith that saves is never alone. with this parable of the fig tree, we can't assume that Jesus is just cursing a random fig tree, saying that this random fig tree will be dug up just because he wants it to be dug up. But he says it's because it's not producing fruit. That would seem to indicate that it's a bad tree from within. Now, looking at the hard exterior of the tree, you can't necessarily tell if it is bad on the inside, but the good indication of that is that it's not producing fruit. It's not producing those good works, that it's not producing the repentance that comes from faith, ultimately.
Right. Yep. So good connection there again with the gospel reading. Vincent, as we kind of wrap up this podcast, what are some insights for preaching, specifically the text of Ezekiel, but also maybe kind of the full lectionary readings? Are there any insights you found for preaching that could be helpful for our listeners?
Sure. Well, with the text of Ezekiel in particular, connecting the Son of Man and the watchman to Christ as the one who is the Son of Man, who watches over the people of God, but also calls them to repentance, is a very strong image that you can use. Later on in that passage, we also get a wonderful line in verse 10. "And you, Son of Man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live?" I read that, and it sounded a lot like the confession portion of our divine service. I mean, it's using the similar language of, like, how can we escape from our own sin? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so it establishes a good connection between the text here and the parts of our divine service that our parishioners may be familiar with. And I thought that would also be a helpful connection, helpful thing to explore when you're going through the Old Testament text.
Yeah, absolutely. Connect them to that familiar language from the liturgy and, again, move them back to that repentance that is so central to the season of Lent as we move closer to the cross and Christ's crucifixion and ultimate victory over sin and death. All right, Vincent, as we wrap up today, did you find any helpful resources that we could use as we dive into this text and for anyone who might be preaching on one of these lectionary readings?
Certainly. Well, I would always like to put in a plug for our Concordia commentary series and Hummel's commentaries on Ezekiel, as well as Dr. Just's commentaries on Luke were particularly helpful for me in pulling insights out of the texts there. However, one of the parts of the text that we didn't get to today from the Luke reading about the tower that fell on the people of Siloam and how that leads Jesus to talk about repenting or perishing, it was a very poignant look at tragedy. And so I thought if you are looking at exploring that, you may want to take a very, very pastoral approach in how you might go about exploring tragedy. So I also found another resource called Terrorism, Trauma, and Tragedy, A Guide to Preparing and Responding, which is a great look at how pastors can deal with tragedy, trauma in the midst of parish or in the midst of culture, and how they can address that in a very gospel-oriented way.
All right. Thank you, Vincent. Thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of Lectionary Bites. We've covered the texts for the third week of Lent. Hope this has been helpful for you, and God bless as you prepare to share God's word with the people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vincent.
If you enjoyed Lectionary Bites, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Facebook so that you don't miss a single episode. This podcast is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.